Hello, and your mission, should you choose to accept it, is this week's episode of Stasis Pod, the Transformers Rescue Bots Academy podcast. I'm Rob.
I'm Jen, and get your pistons out of my blasters.
Help, help, my name is Timmy, and I have fallen down this convenient well, inconveniently. I'm David.
And yes, this is the latest in our continuing journey through Rescue Bots Academy. This is the 9th episode overall. First aired January 26, 2019. Written by Mark Seal, frequent writer of British kids television. This is his first Rescue Bots episode. Also wrote episodes PJ Mask, Mike the Knight. Bunch of Thomas.
Do we have any Rupert yet?
No, we got a bunch of Thomas the Tank Engine.
Oh, I only am aware of Rupert because there's a VTube furry guy who does a Saturday morning stream of cartoons, and he started adding Rupert in there.
Oh, right, the squirrel. Yeah, I haven't caught Rupert on those streams yet.
I think he went to that. No, I think after Sonic the Hedgehog, you went to Street Sharks or something. I think Rupert replaced, like, Dungeons and Dragons or something.
I would see. And I know Rupert because it was animated in Canada and therefore aired in Canada forever.
Of course. Like Beast Wars. Like Beasties.
That's right.
Beasties!
Oh, he's a bear. What the fuck?
Yeah, he's a bear.
Yeah, what did you think he was?
He's got a friend who's a badger.
His name is Rupert Bear.
You say Rupert, I have no context for what it even was. I don't think I've ever heard or seen of this
well,
thing
you
before.
Should watch the Saturday morning cartoon stream.
I guess. No, this is completely new to me. This just looks like, I don't know, it looks like somebody redrew some other cartoon that I can't name. What's the one with the fist meme?
Arthur.
Arthur, yes.
Arthur's an aardvark.
This just looks like a redraw of Arthur to me.
Rupert is like a beloved British character from dating back to apparently the 1920.
Wow.
Okay, he just looks like an albino Paddington.
He predates Paddington.
Okay. The British have been hiding him for 100 years.
Hiding him in Canada, apparently.
100.
Not hiding him that hard.
Anyway.
Anyway, one of these days, one of these writers is going to have worked on Rupert, and I'll be like, I understood that reference.
Well, the thing is, I don't know if they will, because the Rupert writers were all Canadian.
Oh.
Huh. Well, Canadians write things.
Yeah, I'm looking at, the first, like, all these Rupert episodes were all directed by Dale Schott, who was also the guy who directed Care Bears 2, A New Generation.
Ooh.
Which is, I want to say, that is that the one with the evil Mickey Rooney?
I do not remember. Speaking
There's
of
one of them
that
where, like,
I should rewatch.
Mickey Rooney is, like, possessed by Satan or something.
Oh, man. That sounds good, though. I just know that's the one where there are, like, other animals in addition to bears.
Right. And yeah, apparently Peter Sauter, who also wrote a ton of Inspector Gadget and Babar and Droids.
Ooh!
Oh, drunk.
Speaking of things we should do on a Patreon.
Ooh. That's
Trouble
on,
Again. Yeah, that is on Disney Plus.
Oh, it is indeed. Yeah, these are all Canadians writing for this this Rupert cartoon, so I'm afraid you are out of luck when it comes to British people.
Aw, okay. Noted.
Anyway, so where was I? Okay, so yeah, written by Mark Seal, and we open. And everybody's wondering, you know, who's going to be the team leader? Because, of course, Wedge is the guy who is kind of the leader guy, but Hotshot is stupid and therefore thinks that he should be the leader as well.
Basically, Wedge thinks that he is the best at everything, so he should be the leader. And Hotshot also thinks he's the best at everything and he should be the leader, except, like, Wedge is best at, I don't know, like, doing tests. Wedge is good at test scores and Hotshot is good at sports.
Yes.
Neither of them should be the leader.
And Medics knows that it's not going to be him because he is today's victim.
Yes.
Yes.
He's been studying.
And apparently, I'm looking at his TF Wiki page, apparently he's supposed to be, like, autistic coded, which I didn't really pick up on, but it kind of makes sense.
I can see that. I was kind of feeling like he was just kind of an asshole, but sometimes that can seem a little autistic coded as well.
Well, wait, Medics?
Yes.
Or Wedge. Oh, yeah.
Medics.
Medics is very nerdy, which does fall autistic-ish tendencies. Medics is just a music.
And then nobody's putting Whirl in charge, because Whirl is at least one-third crazy.
Whirl is... Oh, what's the one? ADHD, the hyper one?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. This is a class of kids.
The idea of having Hotshot and Wedge in charge just made my brain think of Rodimus and Megatron as co-leaders.
Yeah. I feel like a number of these episodes are at their core about the perils of having to do a group project.
Oh, God, yes. With the worst possible people.
Yeah, yeah. It's definitely about how, like, group projects are a pain in the rear.
But instead, we are going with the guy who didn't ask to be leader, Hoist.
Yay! Mm. Sometimes the one who doesn't want to be the leader is the best suited to leadership.
Yes. And we'll see, because it seems that his problem is that he's not particularly assertive.
Yes. Yeah. Which, sometimes, someone who feels that they're not well suited to leadership feels that way for a good reason. And
yes.
Just allow it.
So we're on a cliff. Medics is on a ledge halfway down it, and we gotta get him up.
Yep. Ooh. He's in trouble. And
Medics has a bunch of dialogue that he's reading off, that he's prepared.
Oh, yes, about... Yes, he researched things about... Well, it sounds kind of like he researched Lassie, because he keeps talking as if he is Timmy and has fallen down a well, or various other things. Although one line he says is like in a thick southern accent. I couldn't remember what that was.
Yeah, he becomes like a distressed southern belle at one point.
Yes, hail, yes. Hail. I am in danger.
Got a little Blanche Devereaux in here.
Yep, he's been doing his research.
I do declare that I am stuck on this ledge, good sirs. Anyway, so Hoist has a plan, and before he can tell him what his plan is, Hotshot tells him that instead I'm going to turn into a jet, and then I'm going to go down there on my jet mode, and I'm going to get him.
Well, he's a jet today. Again, like, maybe Optimus Prime should not have given the ability that requires thought and strategic thinking to be the impulsive kid.
Yeah.
Like, maybe give it to someone who will think for 2 seconds before locking himself into an alt mode that's going to be of no use. You could be like, well, he needs to learn a lesson, but sometimes people just don't learn lessons. Sometimes the lesson is never learned.
And so Hoist is like, no, that's actually a problem. So then Wedge says, oh, well, then you must go with my plan. So he jumps on Hotshot's jet mode
so that he
can grab him.
The problem is, if he's a jet, then, I mean, for one thing, jets are not known for their maneuverability as far as, like, stopping in a precise location. There are entire, like, aircraft carrier apparatus dedicated to this fact. Also, he doesn't have anything, like, even if he can get onto the ledge precisely, then he's just stuck on the ledge as well. So yeah, the jet, it's not helpful for the actual mission. It might get him to the ledge, but it's not going to help with the rescue.
And the rules...
But he did not think of that. He thought of, yay, jet!
The rules of the aligned continuity seem to be, at least now, you cannot pop your arms out of your alt mode to, like, catch someone else's head as it flies through the air or whatever.
Boring.
Yeah. We want legs or head, arms popping out of alt modes, guys. They're fun.
Good old G1.
Anyway, so basically they're trench running through this canyon and zipping past medics and
yes,
not
wedges. Wedge is riding on the back of Hotshots. Again, not very precise jet mode, and causing more problems.
So it's back to square one. So now, you know, Wedge and Hotshot argue again. Hoist has a plan, and then Wedge then just digs a hole down to this ledge.
Straight down! Yes, he has the bad Minecraft solution. Dig straight down.
At one point, Maddox does announce to everyone that he's just a poor, helpless child with his whole life left to live. Yeah, he does the bad Minecraft solution, which, admittedly, I also have done when I have played Minecraft. Mm-hmm. Just go down. Go straight down. Deal with the problem once you hit the lava.
Well, yes, well, I'd say, oh, it's not like you're going to hit lava on Griffin Rock. And yet...
But actually, you might, as we have determined. You might hit lava, you might hit dinosaurs.
That was, like, the first season where, like, there was an artificial volcano that they had to plug up. That's still there?
Presumably.
There's lava somewhere on this island.
Yeah.
What? Is this on Griffin Rock, or are we... We'd be, like, in, like...
That's a good question.
Roadrunner...
Oh yeah,
coyote territory here.
Yeah, they probably did port to a desert somewhere because it is a large canyon and brown as opposed to most of the rock on Griffin Rock is gray.
I know Griffin Rock is, you know, a like Springfield in that it has everything,
yes.
But I don't think that it has like Monument Valley in it.
Yes.
Oh, so they went to Springfield Canyon. Okay.
Yes.
Don't
look closer and you see Homer falling down. And then crashing an ambulance and then falling down again.
This episode is kind of missing the scene of somebody falling down the canyon, Homer Simpson or Wile E. Coyote-like.
Well, it can't be too perilous.
Yeah, you gotta keep
But they're robots, so they could land. It'd be fun.
Well, yeah.
I kind of missed the level of peril that we were dealing with before.
Yes.
Or you could, like, have it happen to Whirl, but she stops before she gets to the bottom. But she's not getting into the antics that everyone else is.
Nope, she is busy giving Hoist some moral support.
Anyway, this almost startles Medic so much that he falls off, and then Hotshot follows him, and then this ledge starts crumbling.
And much like the reason why you don't want to do this in Minecraft, now there's no way back up.
Yeah. Mm. Oh, Primus.
So Whirl has to go down and get them, but then she can't get out of there either because they're too heavy. So what they can finally do is actually follow Hoist's initial plan, which was we're going to put a line across this canyon, and then I'm going to use my tow line to hook you.
Yes.
And then this actually works.
This is why I hate group projects.
Yeah. Yeah, in the end, it's like the Hoist has to do it himself.
Also, sometimes the lesson here is that sometimes being a leader means telling the dipshits under your command to shut the hell up. An important lesson for all of us to learn.
Yes.
So everybody's rescued, Heatwave is back, and... they're going to have to tell him how this whole thing went down.
Yeah, well, they argue over who gets to tell him, and was it Hoist says, let medics tell it.
Yes.
Yes.
And then he starts dramatizing it.
Yes.
Dramatically. It's cute.
All right, and then that brings us to our next episode, Glitch. Sadly, it's not about that the thing on that guy's wrist from Reboot.
I was sad that it was not about AI Dr. Morocco.
I'm sad it wasn't about the Action
Master. I was really hoping.
Was it an Action Master or... Wait. There was a glitch.
I think that was one of the Action Master companions.
Oh. Yes, that was...
I believe Mainframe's little buddy.
He was the buddy of Rollout.
Oh, okay.
Ah.
The guy who kind of looked like he was a construction vehicle.
Yes. Hmm. The guy with construction vehicle vibes.
Yes.
But with Slag's head. Or, wait, Snarl. Snarl's head.
Yeah, kind of a Snarl head. So, first day of January 26, 2019, written by Danny Slack.
That's a fun name.
An Irish director and screenwriter. This is his first episode of...
UK.
Yep.
What is going on over there? Or what was going on over there in 2018?
They animated this in Ireland, right?
Oh, okay.
That makes sense.
And interestingly, it looks like he's directed a bunch of made-for-TV Christmas movies.
Ooh!
Wait, animated or live action?
I'm looking here to see if any of them have Lacey Chabert. I'm not looking good so far. Not British enough.
I was gonna say, was it all for the BBC?
And my internet crapped out.
I mean, they're all like, there looks like they're all British themed.
Oh.
We got Christmas in the Cotswolds.
Uh-huh. You can have things that are British themed, but not from the BBC.
Well, I don't know if these are from the Beebs.
Not
these
from
are,
the Beeb.
Yeah. To England with Love. And yeah, the one has... None of these have, like, your big names in them so much. Like, and by big names, I mean people who had, like, a TV show in the 90s.
I was gonna say, like, how big would you expect?
like Lacey Chabert big.
Okay.
Yeah, she's on Party of Five.
Like Benedict Cumberbatch? No, I don't think we're
gonna... no.
I don't think you're gonna have Hiddles here.
And then just this last year, A Merry Royal Christmas.
I just want to establish that if there was a made-for-TV Christmas movie with Tom Hiddleston, I would watch it.
Yeah.
Get me to watch one of those movies.
Well, they should do, you know how they did like that Werewolf by Night special. They should do one of those, but it's a Christmas one and it's got Loki in it.
Yes. Yes. Learning about the spirit, the meaning of the holidays.
But it's like a romance thing, so he like ends up in like some small town.
Yes.
And romances some like small town hunk and or lady.
Both.
And it could even be, like, New Asgard, which is very sort of small, cozy town feeling.
I mean, it's Loki. It could also be, like, some small town horse.
Yes.
I wouldn't go that far. Maybe a Krampus?
Bring that into the canon.
Or something.
Anyway, you don't
get a magic horse by not having sex with a normal horse.
So we're in the danger room again. We're in Griffin Rock, and we're having an earthquake.
Yay! It's time for Earthquake Simulator.
That's right.
More video games.
And yeah, Glitch is having a bit of a crisis here, because all these simulated humans are behaving logically.
It does...
Real ones don't do the same.
It does cause me to question, though, again, if this is something that implicitly establishes something about Cybertron. Like, is Cybertron tectonically stable?
You know, I don't think we've ever seen a Transformers earthquake on Cybertron.
I mean, as I would say, like, because it's... I mean, we did in Transformers 1, but that was a little different.
That's true.
I don't know if that was an earthquake. That was the Earth moving.
Yes.
Different. From the surface, like the inside. Anyway.
Just like a few episodes ago, how we discovered that they were not familiar with the concept of an ecosystem.
Mm-hmm.
So here they are not familiar with the concept of seismic activity, and that seems to imply things about where they came from.
I would guess not, because, you know, you always see them, like, going down to the depths of Cybertron, and it's always just, like, more Cybertron or like rocky caves. You never see like lava.
Yeah. Yeah, it doesn't have a molten core.
That's so fair. Yeah, I would say that.
And well, having shifting plates, well, from our own solar system that we just know, like Earth is the oddity in that case.
Well, yeah. And of course, we saw in Beast Machines that there is instead a bunch of goop in there.
Yeah. I think there's one of the moons of Saturn or something that has quakes, but that's also an oddity.
Well, I know Io is very volcanically active, which is the moon of Jupiter.
Like, Venus and Mars don't have quakes, so it makes sense that Cybertron would not, especially since it's mostly metal.
And Cybertron is a lot more just, like, intentionally constructed.
Yes.
But that doesn't mean that you couldn't have lower levels, like, becoming, like, unstable over time and collapsing and causing problems, but I guess not.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, sinkholes!
I mean, you'd probably have, like, quakes, but they're not caused by tectonic activity, but by, like, the ancient entity in the planet waking up.
Yeah. Yeah, like, there's that.
Yeah, the dweller in the depths is just crawling around.
That's right.
Somebody just shot God in the face.
Yes, that's how you get an earthquake on Cybertron. Like, just imagine old Marvel Comics after that, if they still keep getting earthquakes after someone shot God in the face, and that's their euphemism for an earthquake. It's like, the ground shakes. Oh, someone shot God again. Oh, that's fucking stupid. Anyway, where are we?
So as this rescue is going on, we're in the danger room, and this girder falls down, but it starts glitching out.
Yeah, it turns into Jeb underscore.
Starts turning different colors.
Yeah.
So, and in fact, this allows them to rescue somebody because this thing's glitching out while they're trying to grab a guy.
Well, yeah, because World says...
Not a guy, a little dog.
Yeah. A little dog,
puppy dog. An adorable, adorable little white puppy dog.
Yeah, because World says something about, it's like, sometimes you have to do an illogical thing to solve a problem. And then, Maddox moves a smaller girder next to the glitching girder, and then the glitching girder just floats into the sky, and they can rescue the tiny puppy.
Yes.
And then they've solved the simulation, so the tiny puppy gets snapped.
Yes, Medic but... says this does not count.
No.
Because Medic kind of ruins everything sometimes.
Yes.
He means well. I,
this is sort of where that autistic coding is coming in.
Yeah. And well, he's the kid in the classroom pointing out, we didn't actually do our homework.
And, of course, it is now time to... unfortunately, there's no time to talk about this, because there's a real rescue to be done. And once again, Griffin Rock has fallen prey to bad driving of trucks full of things that are extremely hazardous. And it is actual explosive canisters this time, not a big milk tanker.
I have some very serious questions about what all the other rescue bots are doing that was more important than this, because I have to assume that it is justified that they were leaving this to the kids and Cody. But I am very curious what their problem was. Like,
presumably they're off the island. Maybe they're at the, what, didn't they have like something out by Seattle, another facility they built or something?
It's calamari week. Sorry.
Well, at one point Cody does say that he's going to call the firehouse, and then he's like, no, they're tied up with something else. And I'm like, well, I mean, it's entirely possible that they're tied up with like a pteranodon attack or something, but now I'm very curious about what it is, because I will give them the benefit of the doubt that it was something that was genuinely more important than this.
It's those crime druids again. They're on the rampage.
Oh. Stealing jewels and stuff.
That's right.
Anyway, they have to solve this problem about propane and propane emergencies.
Yes.
By having a contest to who can get, or whatever these gas canisters are, whoever can get the most wins.
Please do not rely on children for dealing with explosive canisters.
Especially since their thought is that they'll get the truck back on its wheels by blowing up the canisters to flip it over.
Yeah, because it would be cool. And
it would be.
Wedge, of course, agrees that it would be cool, but the others seemed appropriately...
Yeah, no.
Shocked by the suggestion.
So, you know, they start collecting up these cans.
And start saving people.
Humans are slightly endangered.
Here we can see more humans.
Yes.
Including a baby who gets saved by being kidnapped, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's in a stroller and just ripped away from his father that's pushing the stroller, who's left confused until another bot rescues him before he gets run over by propane tanks.
There are some civilians that do behave as civilians normally would by freaking out and running in different directions.
Yes.
And it would be nice for the rescue kiddos if you could just go up to some civilians and say, hey, could you please evacuate the area? There's a danger. And they're just like, okay, cool. See you later at the evacuation point. And not, like, freak out and run off in different directions.
But humans are highly illogical, Captain.
Yes. So they're down to these two cans, which promptly blow up this bridge.
Good job.
Yeah,
good
job. Bounce and blow a hole in a bridge, which makes me think the bridge was already structurally unsound, which we have infrastructure problems all over America, so that makes obvious sense.
Yes.
This is why you don't let the kids do this. The kids are too busy being like, nah, nah, I got more than you did, and bridges get blown up and lives are imperiled.
Plus the mayor, Trent, you know, he divested all the money from the infrastructure fund to build Mount Botmore.
Yeah. It's a problem.
So, and the car isn't even stable enough that Morrow can get them from the air. And they can't drive on the bridge because it starts falling apart.
And yeah, this is when Cody is like, let me call my dad. And then, yeah, I would like to know what emergency is bigger than a human about to fall off a bridge, but I will allow that they do deal with things more important than this.
Mm-hmm. So Maddox realizes that when all solutions are illogical, you must do the illogical to solve the problem.
He enters his mind palace and
yes, he is in his mind palace.
Investigates all the variables and comes up
with. Speaking of Benedict Cumberbatch,
logical solution that, when you describe it, sounds highly illogical.
Yes, and
also kind of stupid. But the solution is to destroy the bridge more first.
Yes,
so because there's more room to get.
Get to the human, but if they were to knock the human off the bridge, it would be easier to get to them, which is actually like a family, so.
It turns out they've got not only a baby, but also a dog.
Yeah! And as we have learned previously in this episode, it's important to make sure that you save the dog.
Mm-hmm. So, the bridge, this car falls off the bridge, it's snagged by the cables underneath.
Somehow.
And then Whirl and Cody can get the baby and dog, but then it falls into the river. But luckily, Hotshot has not turned into anything yet today, so he is able to use that hovercraft mode.
Yay!
And to be fair, if he had already used it for something earlier today, chances are good that it would have been the hovercraft, and then he would be...
This is true.
...be all set. But fortunately... He did not impulsively decide to turn into, like, I don't know, a tricycle or something, you know, 5 hours ago, and now they're all screwed. So that's good.
Yes. So he's able to tow this car to safety, and so everybody is safe, baby and dog included.
I'm actually a little mad that the hovercraft actually came in handy.
Statistically, it happens to happen occasionally, but it's not through Hotshot's idea.
I guess.
Well, no.
He's but a tool.
A hovercraft-shaped tool.
So Heatwave gets back there, tells them that they're all great.
Medics and gets licked by a bulldog.
Yes.
Yes.
I think it's a bulldog.
And then Wedge and Hoist go back to turn the truck back on its wheels, and they find two more cans, which means they won! And that's the episode.
Wedge and Hotshot are the worst.
Well, this is Wedge and Hoist. And Hoist is okay.
We do like Hoist. Hoist is okay. I guess Hoist can win. That's allowed.
We, construction-y, well, I was about to say construction-y Autobots are always good, but then there's Wedge right there, and the ones in Robots in Disguise were kind of half annoying.
Yes.
The original Robots in Disguise.
Right.
Yes.
Grimlock and his gang.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, Hoist is good. This was another fine episode. These episodes are very light and easy to digest, which is nice.
Yes, they are. Which makes sense.
Hmm. Yeah, and this one did have some actual peril for a change, so
yes,
that was nice.
Having peril back is nice.
And I realize that it is probably not considered entirely age-appropriate to have too much peril in these cases, but...
No, but, like, regular rescue bots had a lot. Sometimes yeah. really big.
Yeah, like... Yes. Well, that's the thing, is I kind of feel like this was a response to the original series being too perilous.
I guess.
But also, I'm disappointed that none of this was caused by AI Dr. Morocco. Alas.
I kind of feel like, well, unless somebody else knows otherwise, we're not going to get actual villains in this series.
Not so much, I don't think, no.
It'll just be... At most, child robot peril.
Because we're kind of correcting from how things were going in Rescue Bots. So, fair.
But
maybe
it was
that's,
nice to have even those low-level villains every
Maybe that's
while.
The other reason why this is so British, is just because, like, the British, like, one of their major exports is preschool television programming.
Yeah, I don't think Thomas the Tank Engine has villains...
I don't think the Teletubbies had villains other than the horrifying baby face inside the sun threatening to burn them all.
Yeah. Or the forgotten fifth Teletubby. Satanus or Among Us or whatever they're called. I don't know the names of those things. But yeah, the show is still cute. Some of the kids are annoying. As we pointed out, it's very much like the worst kids get stuck on a team and have to solve a project.
Yeah, it's definitely Medics and Hoist, and to a lesser degree Whirl, having to manage an annoying team assignment in school.
Yes.
But, you know, I mean, I do like that Hoist got an episode. I like him. I like him making things, and I like getting him to learn about the importance of the prototyping stage. And I like Hoist getting to learn about the importance of yelling at your stupid friends to stop being dumbasses for 5 minutes and focus on the project. So that's, you know, they're very light episodes. They're very fluffy, but. Yeah, I mean, it's nothing that's like, oh, that's dumb. I can't stand this. So, it's fine. It's cute.
Yes.
They're all right. Mostly good kids.
Yes. Hopefully they'll become more good as the series progresses.
Yes. Hopefully lessons will be learned, but we'll see.
All right, well, that is it for us for this week, but we'll be back next week with more Rescue Bots Academy action. Until then, we are all over the internet. We're on Twitter, we're on Facebook, we're on Mastodon, we're on Blue Sky, and we have a Patreon.
Yes, we are hosted on iaconunderground.net, where we have this, and then David and I are trying to get back into a regular, at least bi-weekly schedule, fortnightly, perhaps.
Monthly, fortnightly, something in that ballpark.
I used to like when the word Fortnite popped up in things until it became
a
video game played by 10-year-olds, and I didn't want anything to do with it anymore. Oh. That ruined it.
I keep forgetting that that's one of the video game titles. I was confused with PUBG because they're basically the same thing.
Yeah, that whole classification of video games is just a big I'm good, thanks. But
I mean, I'm okay with some of the hero shooters, but like Fortnite and PUBG are just this weird corner that I don't give a shit about.
It's just kids. It's just, it's a thing for little kids to play, and that's fine if you're 10 years old and like hearing other 10-year-olds drop racial epithets at you and group chat.
Never turn on the in-game audio. Never, ever turn on the in-game audio.
Yeah. See, when I played World of Warcraft, at least you were with a group of people you knew and not, like, random 10-year-olds.
Well, yeah, that's how you should play any of them. You play it on Discord or whatever the previous shits were before Skype or in between Skype.
But
group chat? No, there was something that, like, somebody implemented
Vent.
For Warcraft.
Vent. There was Ventrilo.
Oh, I thought there was something before.
Maybe
that.
There was something else, but yes.
I think Ventrilo should be like a He-Man character who has like a puppet.
It should be. It definitely should be.
Yeah.
But yeah, we are on IaconUnderground.net, where we have a Patreon set up to help with hosting and other expenses there for this podcast and our other podcast and whatever other random things we want to do, like our SSSS.Gridman episodes.
Eventually we're going to have to watch that
the movie. Yeah. It is patreon.com/IaconUnderground. For the month of January, we got it out a little late because it was a whole lot because we go on for a bit. We finally got around to discussing Transformers 1 because some of us are very twee about these things and require our physical media. I had to get that 4K steelbook because I did not buy an Xbox Series X to not buy 4K steelbooks of things. So yeah, we talk about that for about an hour and 40 minutes, which I think is close to the runtime of the movie itself.
Probably.
Pretty close.
It's getting there. It's getting there. So for as little as a dollar a month, you can get that episode where we compare that version of the untold story of the beginning of the war to all of the other times that story has been told, which is actually... It's a few times, but this was definitely, I think, one of the most, like, character-driven versions of it. So, good there. I like it when things are character-driven. As little as a dollar a month, you can get that and our past specials, where we talk about all kinds of cool things. Sometimes random old cartoon episodes that tie into stuff that's big, like when we did the 90s Spider-Man episode with Morbius to tie in with the movie Morbius, which probably about the same level of quality, about the same quality
Matt,
level.
If Jared Leto was just doing that bad Dracula accent for the entire movie... Better movie.
So much better. It would have been so much better if he'd just been doing... I'm telling you, this is my controversial opinion for the Fantastic Four movie, is that Dr. Doom needs to just have a Tommy Wiseau accent through the whole thing, the whole movie. No one has been brave enough to do that yet, but it needs to happen. That is patreon.com/IaconUnderground. We have not decided what we're doing for February, but we are going to think of something fun.
Yes. All right. Well, that does it for us for this week. We'll be back next week as Rescue Bots fear obsolescence in 5 into 4.
But they're just babies. They're not ready for that kind of emotional crisis.
And speaking of not ready, Whirl ends up on a solo mission in Rescue Promo.
Dun, dun, dun.
What? Shouldn't it be Rescue Solo?
Maybe because she gets a promotion?
Ooh.
Okay.
I've not actually seen this episode yet.
We will find out what that means.
Although I will say that this episode apparently contains a reference to a... now antique fandom joke.
I love fandom jokes. I love antique fandom things.
All right, so until then, I'm Rob.
I'm Jen, and I would like to know if it's like a bird, if you know.
And I'm David. Oh, no. Fandom jokes need to die.
Yeah. We'll be right back.